Now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello, we're back.
I'm back.
No, so am I.
Well, actually, I've been away longer than you.
Oh, okay, you win.
I always win.
Packed show this week.
I know, I can't wait. Not enough mics, though.
No, there's no one called Mike here.
God, I give up with you, Andy, literally every time.
This week, we go to Bollywood and Cher has another slice of American pie. All right, here in the next hour.
On Shout Out.
Voting for this year's Shout Out Listeners Award, sponsored by YouGo, has now closed. Join us on Thursday the 27th of March from 7:30 p.m. live at the Old Market Assembly in Bristol, where we'll announce your winners. Grab your free tickets now from awards.shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Dum dum dum.
Like you were never away.
Yeah, I literally thought that Andy, like, obviously I love that promo. It's so the drama of that promo. I just forget it, and then I was like, wow.
If you listen really carefully, I recorded that earlier. My voice still is not back.
No.
So no, I know you haven't been here for a little bit. I am now in my third week recovering from COVID.
Oh, it's been... no. You're sounding sexy though. So
I sound very butch.
I mean, if I was.
So you do as you're told.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So, yeah. If either of you were inclined, something could happen.
Honestly,
kind of like totally the opposite. I
absolutely love you, Lara, but nothing more than plutonic. I'm sorry.
I'm fanning myself, Andy. It's because I'm sat next to you. That's what I think. But yeah, no, obviously plutonic.
So are you looking forward to the awards? Because you're going to be on stage with us.
Yeah, I literally ordered my dress yesterday, and I really hope. Oh, yeah, because the listeners really need to hear me. My dulcet tones. Yeah,
changed your hair as well. It's very nice.
Every time you see me, we just need to accept you. I'm going to have a different hair and a different personality. Yeah. So, you know, that's just me. The listeners just get one of them, and then there's just multiple coming afterwards. I got my dress. I can't wait to shock and gag you all if it comes on time. So, like,
wow.
Please be. Let's
yeah, fight. I was just wow.
Yeah,
Andy's even more interested when he wants to
mention
gag.
Well,
sorry.
Oh, it's not drama. It's more like I'm going for a gag rather than drama.
Tons of voting this year. Tons.
I bet.
And tons. Yeah.
It's gaining traction, Andy.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, this year the number of gold awards went up to 5. So we last year just had Hero of the Year. Mm. This year there's 5 different awards in that top category.
I'm still kind of.
And it was so tense the whole way through, it kept changing who was winning. But we have now counted them. And we'll be letting you know on Thursday. It is free. We would love it if you give a donation on your ticket. It does help us keep bringing them back. But you do need a ticket. So go to awards.shoutoutradio.lgbt, which is the awards website, and click on tickets, and it'll take you through to Eventbrite, and you can get your ticket for it. It's this time next week we will be live presenting them.
I actually can't wait. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be stupendous. Yes. It's going to be a show.
Yes.
And then you're going to be looking gorgeous as yourself.
Well, I hope so. I tried my outfit on the other day and I don't fit. I've got to sort something out by this time next week.
I mean, if that doesn't happen, then it really isn't an event. If something doesn't not fit or something doesn't go slightly,
something always doesn't
fit,
work.
Exactly.
I was listening back to last year. Well, it wasn't last year. They're every 2 years. But I was listening back to the ones that we presented in 2023. Despite the fact we had rehearsals, we went through it, we went live. I went to talk and my microphone wasn't on.
Oh my God, that does really happen. Sorry, I was shocked because I just saw my Terry there. Hi.
Hello.
I haven't seen you so long. I've missed your face.
Oh,
even though I can
you.
See literally a quarter of it. But, like, I love your
That's
face.
That's what you want to see.
Yeah, I mean, the best part, I'd say. But yeah, I really am excited for, like, just, I think what was beautiful about last year was that, like, the happiness everyone felt when they got the award. Like, they were shocked and it felt like it was a lot to them.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's
And we, people say the same thing as well, because it's kudos to you for getting into the finals as well. People, only one person can win, one person or group or whatever can win each award, and there can be up to five people in each award, you know. And we know what it's like. A shout out has been in awards and not won, and you can feel a little bit disheartened. But you have to remember, to get into there, you actually became a finalist over other people. And also, people don't do what they do for an award. It should be an extra thing. So, you know, congratulations to whoever wins. If you didn't, don't be disheartened. It doesn't mean that you do anything bad. You still all do amazing things.
I still think it's great that we come together and celebrate the queer community in Bristol and the South West and show the love in light of everything that's going on. Just have a big old party, a big old, I was going to say a word there.
But like, the thing is, it's like, it is a form of resistance.
It is.
Us coming together.
Celebration and uplifting.
We're like, well, you're not going to stop us. You
We have some amazing people.
You're much better at this than me.
I've had practice because, I've oopsie daisied before, haven't I, Andy?
Really? You?
Maybe once or twice.
Christmas
show. But once or twice in 6 years is pretty good for me.
Yeah.
I was going to say, damn is okay to say, right?
Yeah, I think so. A lot of things depend on context, so, and that's usually okay.
Well, I'm a beaver and I'm building a dam, so.
Yeah. Early innuendo in there. Anyway, I'll be on stage with the lovely Steffi, who I haven't seen her outfit this year, but I hear it's very nice. It's very smart, isn't it?
I can't wait to see what Ez is wearing as well, standing next to me.
In fact, most of the team will be there, so you'll see them from when you go through the door. You'll get greeted by the likes of Lucy and Tara. Lovely Arby's doing tech backstage.
I might read you some news whilst I scan your ticket. You never know.
Oh, don't treat them, Lucy. They haven't even got in the door yet. They need to be spending some coppers for that. Absolutely not. It's going to be a show. It's going to be a shindig, and it's going to be a hoot.
It's also the start of our 15th birthday. This year's shout out is 15 years old. 15 years of LGBT plus radio. I remember when you were a little whippersnapper and you first joined us.
I ain't going to be called little in no kind of context, but okay.
How many years have you been now? It's got to be about 8.
God, don't age me. I mean,
you're
like 22.
You're 40 what now?
I beg your pardon.
Andy. Out. That is just
literally no. To be fair, like I said, the first thing I got told was like, face for radio, which was lovely. And then I came back because
we never said that.
No, Ella did.
Oh, did she?
Yes, she did. I was like, well, thank you very much. I guess I'll come right back then. And then, so it was what, 22, so 8 years now. Is it? Sorry,
that was
very loud.
That's almost as high as I go with this broken voice.
Oh, honey, you don't know.
If I ask you a question, it goes all high and squeaky. It's like my husband's been laughing his tits off at me the last week. I just can't talk. I hope it goes before the awards. As it's going to sound ever so odd. I'll be able to do the voiceover announcement live on stage with this voice next week.
Trust me, the voice is giving, whatever it is. As long as it's not high pitched. Like,
hello.
Yeah,
welcome to Andy's Midnight Hour with Andy Shilton. Right, anyway. We ought to move on because we've got a really packed show. We've got a lovely feature coming up now. Steph's been chatting to Shafiq about the Bollywood Guide to Revenge. Let's have a listen to this.
Well, we're off to the theatre again. This time, the Bollywood Guide to Revenge brings its queer disco-fueled journey of redemption to the Soho Theatre. I'm joined by Shafiq. Shafiq, welcome to Shout Out.
Hi, Steffi. Thank you so much for having me.
You're very welcome. Now, first of all, before we get going, have you always been into theatre growing up?
I've always been a natural performer. It's been like part of my DNA from a very young age. When I was younger, I was a very academic student. I was always getting my good grades in maths and science and English. So when I told my mum I wanted to do A-level drama, I think she was pretty shocked. But I was so happy that I pursued it. Theatre's been part of my life since I was 16, you know, and that's just 3 years ago. No, I joke. That was me. 14 years ago now, and I've been directing, performing, writing, composing ever since.
Wow. Talent right there.
You know, the thing is, I think I'm a jack of all trades, a master of none. That's how I view myself. I like to say I'm a storyteller. I play the piano. I've been playing the piano since I was a very young age. And I've always thought I was never a natural pianist, but I can tell a very good story on the piano.
Wow. Now, we like storytellers on Shoutout. Now, tell us your story.
So I'm performing in a cabaret called The Bollywood Guide to Revenge at the Soho Theatre from the 1st to the 5th of April. So this is a cabaret that I've been working on for a while. We did two nights last year at the Soho as a preview, and then they very graciously gave us a full week to perform it this year. The show is a beautiful love letter to my mother, you know, in one line. It discusses my kind of queer identity. It also discusses my Muslim identity. I'm a very proud Muslim queer person, which I think is a story and a path that's quite untrodden. And what I do in the cabaret is I take a very famous 1970s Bollywood film called Satyam Shivam Sundaram, which happens to be my mother's favorite film.
I'm glad you said that and not me.
It means divinity and beauty in Hindi. And it's, I dissect the film, but weave the dissection with anecdotes and fun stories about my mom and me and how we've kind of navigated life together and seen each other for more than our scars.
Have you had a problem growing up, like with family and friends, with the clash between your religious beliefs and your sexuality?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's a problem. I just think it's a very complex path to cross, right? I think my whole life people told me that I couldn't have it all. I couldn't be two things at once. But I made it a personal mandate, a mission to prove them wrong and to prove that there is beauty in seemingly conflicting things, and there is beauty in mutual exclusivity. And here I am, a proud Muslim who is more or less practicing Ramadan, trying to fast. I've given up alcohol, that's saying something.
Wow.
and also, you know, a very proud queer person who loves being a member of the LGBTQ community, and also who loves going and practicing queer hedonism on Saturday evenings in warehouses in East London, you know.
I think what people forget is the basics for every single religion that we have on the planet is love. And I think people start to forget that. And I think you've actually hit the nail on the head and managed to tightrope yourself into that love.
There's an anecdote that I tell in the cabaret, and it's so I went for pilgrimage when I was 25, and it was such a pivotal founding experience for me, formative experience for me. And I remember seeing the Kaaba, the black stone, for the first time. So this is the stone that all Muslims have to circumnavigate seven times in their lifetime. And I saw it for the first time. And the first vision that I saw was, you know, a kind of a vignette of queer, like Dionysian spectacle. And it was, in my way, God's way of telling me that it was okay. And my queerness and my faith were the same.
Oh, what a lovely story.
I'll probably get stoned for it like later in my life, but there you go.
Well, let's hope if, like I said, all religions preach love, and they should do it a little bit more often. And I think a lot of people just walk around and sort of twist it into their own beliefs and how they want their life, rather than looking at what was written all those centuries ago.
I think it's increasingly an important viewpoint to start championing in an increasingly alienating world. And I think I've found myself unintentionally falling into a bit of a mission to represent a more moderate, liberal vision of Islam, a vision that my mum really drew out for me at a very young age. My mum was one of 11 Muslim daughters in Singapore, and she really paved her own way forward to be a more liberal Muslim woman in a very patriarchal system. And she is the inspiration. She is the person that gave me the courage to be me, you know. And so the cabaret, you know, obviously my relationship with my mother is not perfect. And we go through ups and downs because of my queerness. But fundamentally, when I focus on the love and the courage she's given me, it's a really beautiful thing.
Yeah, and your mum, I think, has followed the correct path because she loves you, whatever, and that is special.
Yeah, she's coming to watch the show in April. on every day. So if you come watch the show, you get to see Mummy Shah Jahan.
Love it. Can you tell us a little bit about the play? Not too much, obviously, to give too much away, but just the basics. I love the fact that you actually chucked the disco word in there.
Yeah, so the play is a beautiful harmony of two parts of my life, right? So I deep dive into the Bollywood inspirations that formed my childhood. And I've been training and been taking Indian classical vocal classes to get my voice in shape for this performance. So I really tried to connect with my Indian and my Muslim roots. But also what me and my collaborator Vasilis has done is kind of take that sound and bring it to the forefront of like queer modern sensibility, but infusing it with techno and disco tracks as well. So the whole sound and the kind of aesthetic and the tone of the cabaret blends East and West. But at its core, the story is essentially a dissection of this film that I mentioned previously. And the film is about this woman who has a massive scar on her face. She's got the most beautiful voice and she's got a banging body. She sounds very familiar. She's a Muslim bombshell like me. But despite having a banging body, she's got this massive scar and she falls in love with this man who doesn't see the scar initially. And when he does see the scar after they get married, he completely rejects her. So the movie was a philosophical dissection into the question, like what speaks louder, the skin or the soul? How do we champion ourselves in a world that judges by the surface? How can we get people to see us for more than our scars? And what I do with the cabaret is in the first third of the play, I talk about my mom being a dark-skinned brown girl in Singapore and how she struggled to get people to see her for more than the color of her skin. Then in the second act, I talk about my queerness and my relationship with Islam and how it was hard for me to get people to see me for more than my queerness. And then the last act is about how, you know, when I came out to my mother, it was a really difficult time, and how we've both been on a journey around seeing each other for more than our scars. So it's funny. I tell lots of anecdotes about going on Grindr in Saudi Arabia, where I nearly got killed. But it's also this really poignant, beautiful expression of a more queer, a more liberal Islam.
Mm. Now, when you think of Bollywood, you think of beautiful women, beautiful men, and a mass of colour. Is that basically what people can go to see?
Definitely. I know this is an audio radio, but if you look at my face, it will totally make sense.
I must say, listeners, I know you're not going to see the video, but I'm actually staring Shadi right in the face, right eye to eye, and you are a beautiful man.
Thank you so much. Yes, you know, color and spectacle are really big parts of my life. If you meet me in person, you'll know that I'm very over the top and I use a lot of embellishment and I celebrate life. And I think in a very gray London, I'm looking out at the skies now and it is very gray. I think we need light and I think we need color in a world that looks like it's getting grayer by the minute. And Bollywood is that. Bollywood, what it's great at is it's great at creating a platform for escapism. So all social structures, stratas in India could escape. They call them like masala movies, or movies that have mass appeal because they're so spectacular. And that's what I wanted the cabaret to feel like, an hour of escapism, an hour of a peek into a more colorful world that this could be.
Right, so you've got this one sorted. Any plans for a follow-up?
Yeah, so I've been composing musical theatre for a very long time. I always, my approach to writing for musicals is about taking really like beautiful legends, stories of our history, stories that my mom raised me on, lullabies or bedtime stories that I listened to when I was a child, and kind of spinning them and rehashing them with a more queer, more liberal light. So I've been working on taking a lot of anecdotes and legends and fables from South and Southeast Asia, and I'm trying to bring them to the London stage in musical format and with a queer lens. That's, I think, what I would like to spend the next 2 years doing. So watch this space. Ooh,
Sounds like it's actually going to explode in beautiful color.
We love colorful explosions. We love all sorts of explosions.
Yeah, I bet you do. Right, we're coming to the end of the chat. Can we just have your socials and, more importantly, where people can get tickets?
Sophie, thank you so much for having me. It's been so lovely. Wish I could talk to you forever. Please follow us on Instagram. It's at Shafiq Shah Jahan. That's SHAFEEQSHAJAHAN. Or if you'd like, go to the Soho Theatre website and you'll see my beautiful face on a show called The Bollywood Guide to Revenge, where you can get tickets for the show from the 1st to the 5th of April at 8:30 p.m.
You had all that off pat, didn't you?
I just improvised that stuff. I am just that good.
I know, right? Thank you so much for joining us on Shout Out, and you go forward and break a leg.
Thank you, my love. Take care.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out podcast. So let me
walk. What an absolute throwback.
I can't rap, so I'm not even going to pretend.
Oh, no, please don't. Like, white boy rapping is not...
It's not good, is it?
No. Eminem's the only one that can really put it off, maybe. But, yeah.
And even then, only on a good day.
Yeah, so please continue to sit down.
So, nice song like that one, isn't it? It's called Beautiful.
You say it's a good song?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, no, it's great. To be fair, I used to bop to this.
I didn't pick these songs, by the way. Steph did before you critique them.
I used to like when you did it, so I could actually completely like rip you apart. But now it's Steffi. I love it, Steffi. Honestly, it's the best song ever. Honestly, such
she
great
gets a special
music
treatment
because
though.
It's you, Andy.
See what I mean about it? My voice goes higher. Like,
oh, does it not normally do that?
No, not normally. Anyway, shall we get some news headlines?
Oh, yeah, let's do.
This is Shout Out News. Welcome along.
The Guardian and independent newspapers were among those reporting this week on remarks by the gay playwright, novelist and television impresario Russell T Davies, who was speaking at the annual awards ceremony of gay dance music radio network, Gaydio. As a gay man, I feel like a wave of anger and violence and resentment is heading towards us on a vast scale, Mr Davies said. I'm not being alarmist, Davies continued. I'm 61, I know gay society very, very well, and I think we're in the greatest danger I've ever seen. I think times are darkening beyond all measure and beyond anything I've seen in my lifetime. The threat from America, it's like something out of the Lord of the Rings, he said, like an evil rising in the West, and it is evil. We've had bad prime ministers and we've had bad presidents before. What we've never had is a billionaire tech baron openly hating his trans daughter, he continued, referencing Trump's ally, Elon Musk. What we will do in Elon Musk's world that we're heading towards is what artists have always done, he said, which is to meet in cellars and plot and sing and compose and paint and make speeches and march. If we have to be those rebels in basements yet again, which is when art thrives, then that's what we'll become.
Once again, evidence has emerged that far-right wingers who support anti-transgender politics are actually a real and present threat to children. Daily blogger Erin in the Morning reports Republican Minnesota State Senator Justin Eichhorn, known for authoring anti-trans legislation and proposing a bill that would classify hatred of Donald Trump as a mental illness, was arrested this week for allegedly attempting to solicit sex from a minor. According to a statement from the Bloomington Police Department, Eichhorn believed he was arranging to meet a 17-year-old girl for prostitution purposes, but was actually communicating with law enforcement officers. The Hennepin County's Attorney Office is expected to file felony charges against him for soliciting. Eichhorn is married with four children. Incidentally, the attempt to rule criticism of Donald Trump as a mental illness is a tactic right out of Soviet Russia, which once proclaimed that since it was so obviously right and proper, so all critics and dissidents should be rounded up and secured in mental asylums. For the record, no serious mental health or psychiatric association advocates the creation of a disorder based on Trump criticism.
The Centre for Countering Digital Hate, an online advocacy group, has published a series of easily understood and digested guides to hate and misinformation on the internet. Online violence against women and girls, why do some say climate change is a hoax, and how can we help advertisers stop funding hate are just some of the titles of their presentations. Visit the centre's website for further information and resources.
In a landmark decision on Tuesday, a three-judge panel for the Ohio 10th District Court of Appeals struck down the state's ban on gender-affirming care for transgender youth. The ruling rested on two key findings. First, that gender-affirming care constitutes a legitimate medical treatment, and secondly, that parents have the constitutional right to make healthcare decisions for their children. Notably, and with a touch of irony, the court's decision was made possible by Ohio's Healthcare Freedom Amendment, a once Republican-backed constitutional provision originally designed to undermine the Affordable Care Act. Now, that same amendment has been used to dismantle a key pillar of the state's anti-trans legislation.
Disabled People Against Cuts are spearheading a new and reinvigorated Disabled Direct Action movement to protest and campaign against the government's efforts to compel many millions of benefit claimants into unsuitable work. The left-wing weekly paper Socialist Worker says the benefits system is already stacked against disabled people, and now Labour wants to make it harder to claim. Labour is relying on the lie that they are deserving and undeserving poor people to justify its assault on disabled people. In a major victory for the Disabled People's Movement, the General Secretary of the Trade Union Congress, which represents the interests of millions of workers in the UK, slammed the government's approach. A Fight Back conference is to be held on the 29th of March at a public event space, The Cause, in Docklands, London.
Now, do you like the Jolly Roger flag? The pirate emblem was used in various forms in the 1700s to denote the floating republics that were pirate ships, which some anarchist historians have argued practiced gender equality and allowed homosexual relations too. Well, now the queer arts magazine Them explains that pirate imagery has raised over $100,000 for trans young people. The queer arts magazine goes to say, our flag means death themed craft fair and auction took place between February the 18th and March the 9th. It was organised primarily by Liz, a non-binary parent and avid fanfic writer, and a team of five other volunteers. In addition to handmade crafts from fans of the cult fave pirate show, the 19-day fundraiser also included an auction for items donated by the show's cast and crew, including an official our flag means death teapot with a note from series creator David Jenkins and a prop covered in doodles. Overall, the auction and fair consisted of more than 3,000 individual items.
Despite the people currently corrupting government in the States, queer life continues even in the Deep South. This weekend, Houston hosts the annual Gay Rodeo, an event that traces its beginnings back to the first decade of radical queer liberation in the 70s. Organisers say, we will bring together the LGBTQIA+ community and allies for a day filled with cowboy boots, live entertainment and Texas-sized fun. Check out the website Out at the Rodeo for more information.
Yee-haw! Now, some institutions in the States are fighting back against right-wing extremists in various ways. After a group of noisy, abusive Donald Trump supporters harassed staff at Chatterbox, a gay bar in Indianapolis, the proprietors and patrons joined forces to eject them, noting that their claims of discrimination were deeply ironic in view of the policies of the White House. Meanwhile, down in Miami, Manny Moreno for the pagan blog The Wild Hunt says that local free thinkers and anti-extremists are joining forces to pledge solidarity with two local esoteric and New Age bookstores, both of which have been recently harassed by gangs of extreme Christian fundamentalists. The owner of women-led spiritual shop Spiral Circles said, this isn't just about the bookshops, it's part of a larger pattern. We've seen book bans, attacks on libraries and rising religious extremism. Spiral Circle has been a celebrated brave space for 5 decades, and we are no strangers to extreme religious supremacy. And we also recognise that this group does not represent all Christians, and we extend our support to our respectful Christian friends and patrons.
The man whose political rock music rode the back of the punk explosion and also gave us hit singles such as Atmospherics, Listen to the Radio, War Baby and 2468 Motorway is taking to the roads again to mark his 75th birthday. The avuncular Tom Robinson, whose 1978 single Glad to be Gay outraged the establishment, is now himself a part of the establishment, presenting programmes on BBC radio networks such as Radio 6 and Radio 4, 6 Music, sorry. But he's kept his radical principles, including being a spokesman for LGBTQIA issues, peace, the environment and common justice. Robinson says, I'm heading back out on the road, playing songs to lift the spirits in these troubled times. His 8 shows in July and August will be with his regular 5-piece band, whilst October's Then and Now tour features his power duo with Adam Phillips and special guest Gabriel Sayers' support. Mr. Robinson and the band will be at Bristol Strange Brew on October the 2nd and will also be taking in intimate venues across the UK. Merchandise will be on sale from this important contributor to the long history of political music.
And finally, LGBTQIA plus pagans, humanists, new agers, pantheists and nature watchers will join forces this weekend as astronomical spring commences. In fact, as the Earth is a giant gyroscope in space, the precise moment alters from year to year, and this time came early on Thursday the 20th of March. New England-based witch Jasmine Moonsong told her readers, I've been seeing signs everywhere for the last couple of weeks, from the return of the robins and the beautiful crocus flowers that are coming up everywhere. Today we are turning the wheel of the year and welcoming the energy of spring and new beginnings back into our life. It's a wonderful day to celebrate the return of the sun god as he makes his presence known to us, bringing days of light and the new life that is waking up all around us as we see the gifts that Mother Earth is bringing.
And this just in, it's understood that Andy has been missing from Shoutout Radio for the last 2 weeks, refusing to answer questions as to where he's been. However, his arrival back at the same time as Lara sashaying into the studio has definitely raised eyebrows. The news team will continue to investigate this important story.
For more LGBTQIA plus news, be sure to connect to progressive, queer and independent media such as podcasts and community radio services over the next week. And we will see you online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout News, this has been Lucy Potter.
And Terry Starr.
For more information about Shoutout Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shoutout.
LGBT radio for you.
They make it sound like we've been partying for 2 weeks, don't they? I wish.
No, we definitely have. We have to get our story straight, Andy. You have to corroborate mine and I have to corroborate yours.
Yeah. I don't know. I kind of quite like being like aloof and not letting them know what we've been up to. Really.
Well, yeah, of course. That's what I'm saying. We've got to lie.
Right, should we disappear again?
Yeah, go on then.
The Shoutout Podcast.
Just want my piece of the American pie. Got your slice. Where is mine? Put my fingers on this thing called life. Just a piece of the American pie. Break the chains of old beliefs. I'm the flame that you can't unsee.
Hi, I'm Shay Coffey and welcome to Shay's American Pie, a roundup of LGBT news in the US fortnightly. Let's jump into a slice.
Hi, I'm here now with Peaches Christ. We've all been following the story here in the UK, but Peaches, for the record, and for anybody who doesn't know, can you explain to us what's gone on?
Sure. On April 3rd of 2023, I was working with my friend Heclina. We were doing a show at the Soho Theater and we were in rehearsals. I came back to our flat that morning to find Heclina had died, and it was quite a shock. And, I felt like I was living in a horror movie, as you can imagine. Heclina and I had been friends since 1996 and worked together consistently since then. So she was really member of my family more than just, you know, a colleague. And the Met police, arrived on the scene. And that week, they really made me feel like, you know, they were going to do their best to find out, you know, what had happened to my friend, and confirmed that they would be assigning me a family liaison. And when I got back to the U.S. And met with Heclina's next of kin, Nancy French, we pursued, you know, contacting the Met police for updates and asking about the cause of death. And you know, 1 month turned into 2 months, turned into 6 months of being ignored. We tried getting more aggressive. And, you know, at about a year, we threw a fit, and they had a meeting with us to apologize and say that they would do a better job of keeping us in the loop. And then another year has gone by, and finally we were so frustrated and so upset about it that I reached out to an editor at The Guardian who heard my story and assigned a journalist to investigate. And only then did we get a call from the Met Police saying that they had CCTV footage of three men who had been at my flat with Heklina, and that they were going to release it. And so at this point, I think we feel like we've been ignored. There's been a homophobic bias brought to this case. They didn't do anything until they felt pressure from your media. It was not a coincidence. I don't believe the timing of their response was a coincidence. I believe they were just hoping we would go away. We still don't have an official cause of death or a death certificate. We still don't have answers. And digging into this with my British friends and learning more about the history of the Met Police, I'm realizing that sadly, this sort of bias has been a problem institutionally for a long time. And so we're having a protest on the second year anniversary of Heklina's death for the way that Heklina was treated, I believe unjustly. And everyone who has been a victim of the Met Police's homophobic bias, in an attempt to really push them to change their ways and to treat us like people.
It must be very difficult to have been left for so long without any real information at all.
It was horrible. And honestly, you know, I'm a public person. Heklina and I's friendship and working relationship was very public, obviously. We're performers. You know, we were seen as a duo. And so when the police told me that there was no foul play the week that I was there, what they were really saying, I think, was you were not considering foul play where you're concerned. But what they said was there's no foul play. You know, when they gave me my passport back and they allowed me to re-enter the apartment later that week and collect my laptop and things. I had always known that someone was there with her when she passed based on the way that I found her. And so I was imploring them to figure out why that person didn't call for help. You know, my assumption was that the person was probably closeted and, you know, maybe had reason to be afraid of being, you know, maybe seen with someone. Heklina was in drag when I found her. So she was, you know, she was with someone in a sexual context. You know, that's why I wasn't at the apartment, was because I left so that she could have sexual encounters. You know, she was very, very sexual and enjoyed being in drag. So I assumed that the person maybe panicked and was embarrassed, but still they didn't call for help. You know, my friend might be alive if they had. And the police were kind of very, you know, dismissive in a way, like, well, how do you know that someone was with her? And it's like, well, the door was unlocked and the bathroom light was on. And I know this is my friend. I'm absolutely positive someone was with her. So it's been a nightmare to have to answer to people while protecting Heklina's privacy, but also, you know, not knowing if she died of a drug overdose, not knowing if someone killed her, not knowing how or why she died, and being in a public position to inform the public. The first thing I informed them was of no foul play, because that's what the police had told me. 2 years later, I can't rule that out. I feel like maybe I've lied to people. And in the last 2 years, when people have asked me and Nancy French, the next of kin, what happened to Heklina? And we say, we still don't know. People don't believe you. They think I'm lying. They think that's impossible that you don't know. So it's been a nightmare.
So tell me just briefly about the protest. Where is it? When is it? How do people get involved?
So the protest is on March 31st. I know for a lot of people that's a little bit of a challenge because it's a Monday, Monday morning, Monday afternoon. But because we're dealing with a lot of drag performers, we typically are more booked on the weekends. And so the weekday was chosen so that as many drag performers as possible can attend. But of course, all allies are welcome. We're encouraging as many people to come out and support this protest as possible. And so it's Monday, March 31st. We're meeting at Big Ben at 10 a.m. At the Westminster Bridge in front of the Parliament building. And then we're walking along the embankment. It's a short walk to the Met Police headquarters where we'll have a rally with speakers, including myself, Animatronic of the Scissor Sisters, who also was along. You know, Anna, me, and Heklina all got our start together back in 1996 as performers. Cheddar Gorgeous, a dear friend of mine, someone else who's worked with Heklina, Crystal, and more speakers to be announced.
And what do you hope to achieve?
Honestly, at this point, I because that CCTV footage was sent out 2 years later, I don't know. I hope personally to find out what happened to Heklina. I want that more than anything. But I'm also realistic in realizing that this protest might not yield those results. You know, we don't know. So the bigger picture that I'm hoping is that, you know, with the Stephen Port report, with the Heklina incident happening after that report was put out that indicated there was indeed a homophobic bias being brought to these cases, that was not enough to change things so that this wasn't, you know, an issue, is problematic and disturbing. So the bigger picture here is that we want to let the Met know we are going to take this lying down. They need to look at their own, you know, problems and address them. They need to, and if that means bringing in outside help for training and, you know, teaching and education, then that's what it means. So I think we're looking at trying to push for a bigger solution than maybe is involved in one case like Heklina's. We want change in a bigger way, a more empowered way.
Thank you for your time. Peaches, I genuinely appreciate, because I know how painful this process has been. I genuinely appreciate you coming to talk about it. And I hope personally to see you on the day.
All right. Well, I'll be there. I'm flying over just to do this. And I look forward to seeing many of you at the rally and hugging you and you know, and doing this together.
That's definite. I want a hug. Peaches, okay, thank you for your time.
You're welcome.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
Voting for this year's Shoutout Listeners Award, sponsored by YouGo, has now closed. Join us on Thursday the 27th of March from 7:30 p.m. live at the Old Market Assembly in Bristol, where we'll announce your winners. Grab your free tickets now from awards.shoutoutradio.lgbt.
The Shout Out Podcast.
What century is it?
I don't know, ask Steph.
What decade is it from?
From what I can see, that 1960s. That was more than 10 years before I was born. So Steph was about 40.
Oh, sorry, I thought it was 10 years after you were born. Ooh. So,
I've got to do something. She's just been... I'm sat here and I look and the mouse on the computer's moving. And I turn around and Steph sat there remote controlling the computer from her phone.
Trying to make you go mad, this Andy.
It's actually a special power that trans people have. I read about it on a Donald Trump blog. They're taking over the computers.
So you can control your pointer, can't you?
And they're turning all the mice transgender.
Oh. I love that though.
Oh dear, how funny.
Another reminder that it's Steffi's world, we just live in it.
Yeah, honestly.
We're all just figments of our imagination.
Well, what beautiful figments, can
absolutely.
I mean, damn, your imagination's great, because you imagine.
Oh, the number of things we've done over the years where, like, the LGBT people control things. Yeah. I can remember in the old studio, we were going through the whole, like, fight for marriage equality stuff, and there was silly idiot over in America, or Reverend something or other, but there was, like, you know, the gays have caused all of the flooding that we've had.
Oh, I love that.
So we did this complete mistake on air where it was like, I said a spell and we had thunder and lightning go off, and then Mitch was there like pretending to drown as he started the opening of the show. It was absolutely hilarious.
I love that.
Didn't we cause the aeroplane crash?
Oh, we caused everything. I mean, come on.
Every natural disaster is us.
Everyone LGBT I know, if they actually had that power, they would use it to go do things like sort out the drought.
Literally.
And the they wouldn't be using it to flood them. I mean, maybe Trump. Yeah. or Musk's battery
or
factory.
Hungry.
Or something, you know.
So. Well, yeah, no, I don't think if I was Storm from the X-Men.
Oh my God, Laura, yes.
Right?
I know.
Oh, you see it?
Yes.
I can see it. There is no way, number one, we'd no longer have this horrible winter that we have in the UK. What is that? We'd have, well, yeah, the US would be definitely getting some, like, storms up in that place. And yeah, no, I'd clear a lot of the skies. It would be basically sunny skies for the rest of the year.
There is a theory, isn't there, that the X-Men represent the two sides of gay liberation, the moderates and the militants.
I love that.
I'd be a militant, I'd be with Magneto, yeah.
No, really? I don't know.
Anyway, we're out of time. I'm going to shorten what we got there. That is it. Go get your tickets for the awards. We will see you live next Thursday. Awards.shoutoutradio.lgbt is the site you want to get your tickets from. We will be live from 8, but you can get into the venue at 7:30. From myself, from Terry, from
Lucy,
from Army,
wow,
from the lovely
Andy.
Come on, I'm not well. Say goodbye, everyone.
Bye.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.